Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
For the next couple of days, I have a broadcast for you that is going to deal with a very necessary subject and a very sensitive subject. I say the next couple of broadcasts. I suppose that in this broadcast and in the next one, we can cover these things. And I realize that what I'm going to say may not appeal to the broad audience of radio. However, if by teaching you this lesson, we can spare you or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your pastor, or if you're a pastor, you from trouble, then it is very much worthwhile that we go through and preach this message. The message is on how men can safely minister to women. How men can safely minister to women. As a general rule, it is always better for a woman you trust to minister to another woman. That's a whole lot better than it is for you to try to minister to her, if you're a man. The Bible is very clear on this in the book of Titus. Paul tells us in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, watch it, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So it's always better for a woman like your wife or a very godly woman in your church to minister to another woman, because she can minister to her in ways that you can't if you're a man. Plus, she understands the heart of a woman, and she is certainly going to understand the heart of a woman better than you ever will, or better than I ever will. Nevertheless, there are going to be circumstances when you, a male, have to minister to a woman. And when you do, there are practical and there are biblical insights into how to keep yourself pure. Now, obviously, if you're a woman and you have to receive the ministry of a man, these things that you're going to hear are going to alert you to the very kinds of things and structures and principles that should be in place to keep you from getting in trouble as well. Number one, fear God. Always. Number one, fear God. You see, ministers are conscious of other people's perception of them. And so they learn, or we learn, how to behave under public scrutiny. There are just certain things that a man should be aware of if he's in the ministry. And all men ought to be aware of these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And so, you're careful about the fact that you recognize there are certain limitations imposed by what you do upon you. When you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. So you got to be careful with other people. As one friend of mine said, I've learned to be careful with other men's souls. But you know, the thing is, men can watch your action and try to perceive something, but they can't see into your heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God is the one that searches the heart and tries the reins, you see. And so over time, it's easy for a minister to lose his fear of God because he is more concerned about his appearance before men. That is a very, very dangerous place to be. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You want to remember that. You want to remember that God has an eye on you. And when you become overly concerned about the impression of men and less concerned about the impression of God, you are well nigh done. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, the Bible says. You want to stay pure in your relations with your congregation, in relations with a woman, then you got to remember to fear God. And look, God keeps his watchful eye on you. He knows what's going on. And when you lose that powerful fear of God, you know what happens? You no longer see the sins of your heart from God's perspective. You only think about them from other men, and as long as you can keep them from men or keep them from women, you think you're safe. You look good to your folks, but you look filthy to the Lord, and you're not even aware of it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. It's just a matter of time before this minister who is trying to do that stuff gets caught in sin. He has to continually follow Paul's advice in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It is not good for a man to touch a woman. Okay? So the first thing to do is to fear God. Secondly, the way for a man to safely minister to a woman, or if you're a woman, the things to keep in mind about somebody you would trust to minister to you, the man has to keep his heart. Fear God, number one. Number two, keep your heart, which is wise for both of you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You see, one of the problems in the ministry is that a good minister must be compassionate. When Jesus Christ saw the multitudes and said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest," he had compassion on them. And the more compassionate you are, or the more compassionate the minister is, the more compassionate that he needs to be, or the more compassionate that you need to be with your heart. You have to learn to control your affections. Listen, when your heart goes out to someone, that's what happens in compassion. You have a common passion with the person. So your heart has a tendency to go out to that person. When your heart goes out to someone, then you know what can happen? That compassion can turn to lust, and often does. As a matter of fact, it may be very difficult for you to discern between lust and compassion. It may be that what you're sensing is more lust than it is compassion, or it may be all lust and no compassion. And with a heart that can trick you, you've got to be extremely careful about that. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 say this, "Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." So as a man, when you find yourself in the company of a woman to whom you are trying to minister in some capacity, perhaps there's a death in the family or something, and you're there just as a friend to minister, or you're actually in the ministry and trying to minister, you have to be extremely careful at a time like that to keep your heart. Because listen, once you give your heart to another woman, then you lose discretion over your own emotions. That's true. There is a connection that develops there that takes you beyond discretion, and then you can easily at that point be drawn away and enticed. And a lot of people have a hard time understanding the nature and the basis of a sin like the kind of sin you can get in trouble with a woman when you find yourself ministering to her in some capacity, maybe as a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a friend, whatever the case is. You've got to be extremely careful here, because the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see that? So you've got your bearings about you. You're doing good, good relation with your family and all that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in this situation where a damsel in distress, your heart goes out to her, and there's compassion. But what you don't realize is that you have been drawn away, and the thing that drew you away was lust, and now you're enticed. And when that happens, you know what? You are set up for a fall. That's right. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 25, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 25, Proverbs 7, 25, talking about a woman that caught this young man unawares because he was void of understanding, says in verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. You got to watch your heart, fella. You got to watch it carefully. So here's two preventatives: fear God and keep your heart. How men can safely minister to women, those two things. Then number three, here's the next thing. Quell, that is, put down the need to be needed. Quell the need to be needed. One of the most difficult things for a minister or for a man when he's ministering to a woman is to recognize in himself and to acknowledge, if he does recognize it, that he has a need to be needed. In people who find themselves ministering, you know, at hospitals and nursing homes and jails and in church and Sunday school and in the pastorate and a variety of other ways, one of the things that is part of your makeup is that there is this need to be needed. In other words, you're looking for somebody, like the old Maytag repairman. You're looking for somebody that needs a repair. And it's fulfilling to you to be able to go and do something to help this person. You go home at night and you're like, wow, I really did something to help that person. And you have your own need being fulfilled while you're trying to fulfill the need of somebody else. I mean, ministers oftentimes feel a great sense of personal satisfaction in being able to comfort hurting people. Now really, it's just the way that men are built. I'm built that way myself, and I have to recognize this thing in my life and be very careful with it. Because when you could derive a lot of fulfillment in this type of ministering to needy people, you run the risk of making people dependent upon you rather than on the Lord. And that's why a lot of times you'll find a guy that's in some sort of a ministry capacity with a church full of high-maintenance Christians, because they are there to fulfill his need, okay? And he has to keep them in a needy position. I'm not like that. I think I probably started out that way, but I'm not like that now. And I'll tell you what, I want the folks in the ministry to get strong, so strong that not only can they take care of their own problems, but they are also there now that they can minister to other people as well. Okay? Now, a woman who becomes dependent on a man who derives pleasure from helping her is a woman who can ultimately go with that person into sin. You understand that? If he's deriving pleasure from helping her as a damsel in distress, they have set themselves up for sin. You got to remember something whenever you're in the capacity to minister to the need of a woman. And as I said at the beginning of this broadcast, and I want to reiterate now, a woman is always the best person to minister to another woman. Sometimes you can't avoid this, and you have to be there. But I'm telling you what, you are way better off to let a woman minister to a woman. Nevertheless, remember this: if you are there to minister and you have a need to be needed, people don't need you nearly so much as they need the Lord Jesus Christ. So help them become dependent on the Lord and not on you. You see that? That's a really major, major thing. You have got to get them into the Lord's help. He is the one that's there to help them. And you're just there temporarily, and then you get out of the picture. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I, that's Paul, have espoused you, that's the Corinthians, to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Do you see, he understood his ministry. I'm just a middleman, and I'm quickly trying to get you into Jesus Christ. Peter said it this way, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In other words, as a successful minister, you are going to get your people dependent upon the Lord and not on you. Paul said to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, he said, Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He wasn't trying to interject himself between them and the Lord. You understand? Okay, so the word of God, the Lord himself, God Almighty, those are the ones that your folks need to be dependent upon. And remember this too, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And he, the comforter, always points people to Jesus Christ. He doesn't point people to himself. He comforts them and then he moves them on. So don't get them hung up on you. Get them hung up on Jesus Christ. I hope that's sinking into you. John chapter 16, verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. What does he do when he comes? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He shall glorify me. Verse 14. All right, how men can safely minister to women? Well, first of all, try to get a woman involved. But if you can't, it's just necessary that you have to be there to do this. Number one, fear God. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows your heart. Keep your heart, okay, because you can be drawn away and enticed. Quell the need to be needed. Don't be fulfilling your own needs while you're trying to take care of this other person. Get them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, control your thoughts. Control your thoughts. Look, just because a woman cannot see what you are thinking about when you are in her presence doesn't mean that you can think about her with lustful thoughts. Okay? The reason you don't stop yourself is that you don't want to stop yourself. And you have to cast down immediately any imagination of anything that is improper when you are trying to minister to a woman in any capacity. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You cannot let wicked thoughts harbor in your mind and in your heart. You know why? Because the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You've got to clean up your mind. You cannot let those thoughts harbor there. You say, well, they're harmless. I'm not doing anything. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. If you go back now and you ask any minister that has ever gotten in trouble, and you ask them what their thought life was beforehand, if they're willing to tell you, I bet they will all admit, I was thinking about this sin long before I ever committed it. That's right. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ is there to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If you commit your works to the Lord, he will establish your thoughts, and he cleans you up through the word of God. Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. The Lord told him in John chapter 15, you need the blood of Christ. You need the presence of the word of God in you, cleaning you up like a good fountain of water. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have that much trouble with your thought life, then for the Lord's sake, don't minister to women. Let someone else do it. More importantly, let your wife do it. As we said at the beginning, a woman is going to minister to a woman better than you ever can anyway. So your wife is a much better choice than you are. Watch it, okay? How can you safely minister to women if you find yourself in a situation where you absolutely have to? Fear God. Keep your heart. Quell the need to be needed. Control your thoughts. And then this, be aware. Be aware. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, walk circumspectly. In other words, carefully consider every angle to what you're getting into before you start ministering to a woman. And take all of the necessary precautions to prevent anything from happening. In other words, make it so that it is just impossible for the time you're there to minister to go awry. In Romans chapter 13, Paul says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, it is absolutely okay to say no. That's right. It's absolutely okay to say no to a woman if you suspect a potential danger of you or her crossing the line of safe conduct. She comes to you and said, oh, fella, or oh, pastor, or oh, minister, or oh, Sunday school teacher, or oh, friend, or whatever. I need to talk with you. And you sense there's some danger there. You just smile and say, no thanks. You say, well, that might run the risk of offending her. Yeah, it's a whole lot better to offend her there than it is to get caught later. Here's another thing. When you find yourself in that situation where you just have to minister to a woman, there's not another woman there that can take care of it for you. Never be alone together. Let me say it one more time with emphasis. Never be alone together. This is the cardinal rule of safety because you can't do anything if there's another person around. In Genesis chapter 39, when the problem came up there with Joseph, the trouble is that there weren't any other men in the house, and so there was nobody there that could witness the attempt of Potiphar's wife to lie with him. Okay, and you've just got to be aware of these things. You cannot put yourself in a situation like that. In 2 Samuel 13, when Amnon messed up with his sister Tamar, he had sent everybody out of the room. Okay, now this rule will keep you out of doing something wrong. But let me tell you something, it doesn't cover all the problems. When you make the rule and say, I'm never going to be alone together with a woman, there are still other kinds of things that could come up. Here's a better thing to do. Counsel her in the presence of another person. Okay? But watch this. If you do counsel her in the presence of another person, when the session is over, you can still end up calling her, emailing her, texting her. And any of those are potential ways to enter into a romance. You know, listen, I'll tell you the best person to have around if you're going to have to visit with a woman is her father or her husband if she's married. That'll get you. That'll keep you in line. Okay, here's another thing. This is about men ministering to women in a situation where you absolutely have to. Limit your physical contact. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You have to be extremely cautious, and you have to be extremely honest here. Because, look, you can even hold hands to pray together, and that right there may be more than you or that she can bear. And you have to know your limits, and you have to stay within your limits. Listen, if you or the person you're ministering to is certain that there's no sensuality in your relationship, okay, then a brief side hug publicly is about as far as you can possibly go in demonstrating your care. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, talking about the holy kiss. Don't forget that part that says holy. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Okay, watch your body language. Often the way you sit, the closeness with which you stand, the way you look, any of those things can be suggestive. And all of those things can lead to problems down the road. So you've got to watch it. All right, we got time for one more, I think, and that's this. How a man can safely minister to a woman. I've given you some good points. I'll reiterate them here at the end. Let me just say this. Control your eyes. Control your eyes. What you see is what fuels what you think about and what you imagine. You know, when David got in trouble with Bathsheba, he saw her down there, recognized she was a beautiful woman, and then he couldn't stop his lust. So be very careful not to stimulate your imagination with what you see. Job was very careful here. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He knew what he would do if he took that extra look. So be very careful where you sit. Be very careful where you stand in relation to the person to whom you're ministering so that you cannot see anything improper. And control your eyes all the time. When you control your eyes in a ministry situation, okay, then and you control them all the time, you're not going to have trouble in a ministry situation. That's the point. If you're used to controlling your eyes when you're not in a ministry situation, you won't have any trouble controlling your eyes when you are in a ministry situation. You say, what should I do? Look the person you're talking to in the eyes, okay? So let me just summarize with this. We've been talking today how men can safely minister to women when that need absolutely arises. The cardinal rule is get a woman involved from the very beginning. If you can't, number one, fear God. He sees everything. Keep your heart. Do not let it go out to someone else. Quell the need to be needed. Don't let them be fulfilling your needs and therefore keeping them in a needy position. Control your thought life because your thoughts lead to action. Be aware, be circumspect. If you're dealing with a woman and you just cannot control yourself, get out. Never be alone together and don't follow up with emails and calls and texts that could lead to romance. Limit your physical contact and control your eyes. Now there's more in the next broadcast to give you even additional pointers that will really help you when you find yourself in the situation where you're a man needing to minister to a woman.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.